Would you bow with me as we go to our Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before your throne today with two emotions burning in our heart. We are happy for our brother Alex. He is with his Lord and Savior. He will never experience pain, polio, strokes, or death ever again. He will never know anything again but joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's another emotion that's tough. That emotion is sadness. We will miss Alex. He's been a blessing to his family, a godsend for an orphanage, and a joy to this pastor, the Grace Church. I pray for us today. Put into our hearts a peace that passes all understanding. Help us to focus on Alex's joy and not our sorrow. May our Lord and Savior be glorified in this service. May Alex be honored. May his family be comforted. We love you, Lord. We praise you for your goodness. For it is in the holy and precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
In times like these, the only hope that is adequate, and in fact more than sufficient, is the hope that can be found in Jesus Christ. He is our blessed assurance. We're going to sing of that assurance now. If you're able to stand, I'll invite you to stand with me as we sing.
Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
This morning I'm going to read from Romans chapter 8, 35 through 39. These are the words of the Apostle Paul. Mimi, Maya, Treva, Trina, and friends and family, remember that the Apostle Paul suffered greatly. He had great emotional stresses. He was twice beaten, left for dead. So when the Holy Spirit led him to write these things, he understood the application of the struggles that we have. Hear the words of our hope in Christ. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
The book of James tells us that true religion is a religion that's expressed in a love, a care for widows and orphans. And certainly Alex's life bore witness to his true religion as he cared for many, many of those around him in need. We want to think of that as we sing again, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Again, if you're able to stand, I'll invite you to stand with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes.
First Corinthians chapter 16, verse 12. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. We are gathered here today to worship our Lord and to pay tribute to our friend Alex Diakobenzilla. In a time when our hearts have been made weak with grief, we need the strength of eternal wisdom. God gives that wisdom to us through the power of His Word. I've chosen for my text today just one verse, 1 Corinthians 16:12. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. That definition is a definition that our culture ought to adopt for itself. In our culture today, a man can be immoral. He can be just totally deficient of honesty. He can be deceitful. He can be all these kind of things, unethical. And yet, if he's strong physically, if he is tough physically, if he is a man that is popular with the girls, if he's a man that enjoys partying, if he's strong physically, if he can curse like a sailor, then they consider him to be a man. But I want you to know that's not Paul's definition for manhood. Paul's definition for manhood is having Christian character and having Christian integrity. Jesus said it this way, if any man be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I want you to know Alex Diakobenzilla was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was a man in the real sense, the biblical sense of the word. I could say a lot of things about Alex today. Alex was my friend. He came from a different country. He had a different accent. He had a lot of different things about him. He was not the color of skin that I have. And yet, you know what? None of those things matter. They don't matter at all because we were brothers in Christ. We were brothers in Christ. And the same Holy Spirit that lived in Alex's heart and lives in Alex's heart today lives in my heart. And that same blood of Jesus that washed away Alex's sin washed away my sin as well. Alex was a brother in Christ. Mimi, Maya, Trina, grandkids, I know that this is a hard day for you. I know that because I know there is sorrow and there's sadness that is here. That is true. But the Lord gave you a gift in Alex. He's a real man, a biblical man. He's a man who loved you as a family. He instructed you as a family. He influenced you as a family, and he prayed for you. And the reason that we can be happy today is because we know where Alex is. He is with the Lord Jesus and will be with him forever and ever. I want to share 3 points with you today concerning Alex's manhood. Number one, he was gutsy. Alex was born in the Congo. He was born with a disease called polio. And back then, during Alex's early time, there was a superstition in the Congo that if a child had polio, that meant that he had a demon. And so because of that, Alex was not allowed to go to church. Couldn't go to church. And so his family, when he was 5 years old, would get up. They would lock the house up. They would go to church and leave him there by himself. Well, after a couple of weeks of that, Alex got tired of that foolishness. And let me tell you what he did. He waited till the family left. And then he crawled out the window. He hobbled all the way to church. He went right to the priest's office. And he looked in the priest's eye. And he said to the priest, he said, "Listen, I have polio. It is a disease. I do not have a demon. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's wrong for you to keep me out of church. I want to worship too." And he said, the priest started crying. And he reached over and he hugged Alex and he apologized to him. And then he took Alex into the congregation. And he shared with the whole congregation what Alex had just told him. And then he apologized to the congregation. Then he apologized to Alex. And he said, "Alex, from this point on, you will always be welcome in this church." He was 5 years old. That's gutsy. Most of you know the story of how Alex got involved at the orphanage in Goma. Alex was a cab driver. And he got a call that there was a man that had just come in the airport that needed somebody that could speak French. And so they knew he could speak French. And so he rode to the airport and he picked this man up. The man was from the Congo. His name was Reverend Levi's. And he told him where he was needing to go. And he shared with him that he was a preacher, that he had started an orphanage in Goma trying to get funding here in America. And Alex said, "Where are you going now?" He said, "Well, I need to go to a motel." He said, "How much money do you have?" He said, $45. Alex said, "That's not going to be near enough." He said, "You come home with me." And he took him home with him. And they met together in Alex's home. Mimi did all the cooking for the next 6 weeks for all of them. And they sat down together, Alex and Reverend Levi's, and they talked. And they got to know each other. And they grew as brothers in Christ. And he learned about the orphanage. Finally, Reverend Levi's went back to Goma. And after a little while, a few months, Alex decided to make the trip. He went to Goma, and he went to the orphanage. He talked to the orphans and fell in love with them. He came back to Harrisburg, came back to our church, told us all about it, and we began to support the orphanage in Goma. And it was just a beautiful relationship. Alex continued to go back. And what did he do? He supervised the building, erection of buildings on that orphanage campus. And he helped to provide clean water for the orphans and did a great job. I got tickled listening to Alex talk about the concrete company and the supply companies that were there. They usually have this idea that they can take advantage of the Americans because the Americans don't know what's going on over there. So they tried to take advantage of Alex. That didn't work very well. Alex said, no, you're not going to take advantage of me, and you're not going to deprive these orphans. Folks, You know, it's tough standing up to a swindler, but Alex had courage to do it, and he did it well, and he did it for the orphans. Alex was born with polio, suffered with it all his life, and that was a tough thing. Couldn't play on ball teams like some other kids do. Couldn't go to track meets. Couldn't enjoy some of the things that people without polio can enjoy. But I'll tell you what, he was a man's man. He was a man's man, and he stood for God's truth. And he stood for God's truth from the heart. The second point I have about Alex is this. Alex was godly. Alex and Mimi joined Grace Church several years ago. I found out that he had done work as a translator, and he'd worked with sign language. We had a young girl in our church that time, teenage girls, getting ready to go to college. She wanted to learn how to do sign language. She was going to college to learn how. So her name is Leah Andrews. I invited her over to our house for supper, and I invited Alex, and I invited Ray Yarborough, who also knows sign language. And I asked him, I want you to give her some pointers. Give her some encouragement. So Cindy made us a lasagna dinner. We sat around the table together, and Alex and Ray just gave her all kinds of great encouragement and just kind of loved on her. When we were finished eating, Alex reached back and he took out his Bible. And he said, I want to lead us in a devotion. I thought, well, I'm the preacher. I should have thought of that. But Alex did it. And I remember listening to that devotional, listening to his sweet teaching. And it just touched my heart in a very powerful way. Alex is greatly respected by his wife, greatly respected by his two daughters. Maya and Trina are in the military, and they're doing well in the military. They've made their parents proud. Alex is an encouraging father. He taught them biblical principles. He gave guidance and direction to his daughters. You know, America is filled today with deadbeat dads, delinquent dads, absentee dads, dads who have been told by God that we are to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and yet absolutely refused to do it. Alex was the exact opposite. Alex loved his kids, loved his grandkids, and not only would he speak to them and encourage them, but he taught them the Word of God. And you can see it in his daughters' lives. They love Alex and love Jesus. Why did Alex put so much effort to his work with the orphans in Goma? Was it because they were in his native country, the Congo? I don't think so. Was it because he grew to love the orphans so much? I think that had a lot to do with it. But most of all, I think he did it because of his love for Jesus. He loved the Lord. He felt called by God to do that. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Alex was a godly man. All right, my point three is that Alex is a glorified man. Alex is in heaven today. There was no waiting period for him. He breathed his last breath here on this earth. A split second later, he entered into glory. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Alex was a gutsy man. He was a godly man. Humanly speaking, he was a good man. He was a good dad. He was a good granddad. He was a good husband. He was a good neighbor. He was a good friend. He was a good brother. But I want you to know Alex is not in heaven today because he was good. He's in heaven today because the only one who was truly good, the only one who was perfectly without sin, went to the cross and died for Alex, that his sin debt might be paid. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says this, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6, 23 says that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, that God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord regenerated Alex's heart. And Alex confessed his sin. He repented of his sin. And he trusted Jesus Christ as his Lord and as his Savior. And Jesus did a work in him that no man can do for himself. He saved his soul for all of eternity. Psalm 116, verse 15 says this, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Now we're thinking about Alex's death today, and it doesn't feel precious to us. It hurts. For us, death is the last enemy. It causes sorrow. It causes pain. But I want you to know God rejoiced over Alex's death. He rejoiced over Alex's death. For Alex is with Him right now, in the very presence of the Lord, face to face with Jesus Christ Himself. His sin nature has been eradicated. It's so eradicated that he's perfectly holy, not even capable of sin anymore. And because of that, he can worship the Lord totally and completely unhindered. I want you to picture Alex, if you can, for just a minute. He's bowed down at the throne of the Lord. He's looking up into Jesus' eyes, those eyes so filled with love. He reaches up and he feels the nail prints in his hands, the tangible evidence of what Jesus did for him on the cross. And then he hears the words, those words that he's longed to hear for so many years. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord." How do we know that Alex is in heaven today? How can we be sure that he's already there? 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "For the Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Well, what's that place going to be like? We don't have to guess about that. Because in Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5, Jesus gave us a description of this wonderful place. He said this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And He who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' Also He said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" That's where Alex is. So if you cry today, don't cry for yourself. Or you can cry for yourself, but don't cry for him. For he is with the Lord. He is with the Lord. No more polio. No more strokes. No more pain. No more grief. No more sorrow. No more sin. And no more death. He will never know anything else ever again but joy unspeakable and full of glory. Just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of sin is death, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Mimi, Maya, Trina, all the grandkids, I wish I had some magic words that I could say to you today that would just take all the pain and the hurt from your heart. I don't have any magic words, but I do have a promise from the Word of God. And that promise is there's coming a day when there's going to be a reunion of every born-again believer who ever walked the face of this earth. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then once again you're going to be able to put your arms around Alex's neck, tell him how much you loved him and how much you cared.
The only reason we can stand face to face with death today and say it is well with my soul is because Jesus Christ has defeated death. He has removed its sting and He has offered in its place eternal life to all who put their trust in Him. If you are able, would you stand with me as we sing, it is well with my soul.
Let us pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we know Alex is in an amazing place with you, O Lord, for you have told us so through your revealed word, the Scriptures. You have given us glimpses and scenes from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah to the writings of the beloved apostle John in Revelation. O Lord, Alex's devotion to you was obvious to us all in his running your race as he strove to complete the course and purpose you had laid out for him. Alex did not presume to tell you what you needed to be done and how to do it, nor did he waste time on guessing how you might accomplish it. Alex accepted whatever you chose to provide, regardless how unusual it might be. Simply put, Alex trusted you. May his example be an encouragement to us all. But Lord, there is now a gap here on earth where your servant Alex stood. Our hearts ache, not for Alex's gain, but for our loss of his presence among us. He was dearly loved and will be greatly missed. We need your love and your word, O Lord, as a balm applied to our hearts and minds, to heal us, to calm us, and to draw us nearer to you. As we leave this place, make us ever mindful of your sovereignty in all things, the needs of others, and may we end well for you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
several Alex's friends and loved ones and family have requested that they be able to share a little testimony today. And so I'm going to turn this over to you and let y'all do that.
Yes, when we think about parenthood, three words are so important. Relationship, responsibility, and reference. Now we're going to call the first one to give a testimony, Anaya, if she's present.
We were real best friends, but your time on this earth has came to an end. I love you with all my heart and soul, but I am so sad you had to go. I love you. Love your granddaughter, Anaya.
And now we turn it to Trina.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Trina. I am Alex's second and last daughter, probably favorite daughter as well, but we won't get to that. Thank you all for coming today and honoring my father. I won't say much, but we all know who my father was and what he stood for. My dad, he has fought the good fight. He really has for 63 years, for those who heard the story and know the story. So my dad wasn't rich, but, you know, he did anything and everything he could for me and my sister and me and my family. So we really appreciate him. He was my best friend. He was like, we were so close. I'm going to miss my dad, but, you know, we all have a date. We just don't know when, where, or how. I love my dad. I'm going to miss him. And I just wanted to share one story. I was a very expensive girl before I started working. So my dad would always pick on me regarding dresses. I used to love dresses, not the cheap ones, like the very expensive one. Anytime I had an event to go to, I would drag my dad to the mall and pick like the most expensive dresses I could find. And he would never say no to me, you know, so I really appreciate that. And then when I was finally able to take care of my dad, I bought him a car. I allowed him to choose a car that he wanted, and I bought it for him as well. And all of a sudden, he wasn't driving it anymore. I'm like, Dad, like, you've been saying that you needed a car and you wanted a car. Why aren't you driving anymore? He said, well, I don't want to add too many miles on it. That's my car for Africa. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess so. But I'm going to miss my old man. I used to call him old man, but he was definitely a good person at heart. You guys heard the story about the orphanage. He called me up. He was like, I pick up these people from the airport. I was like, Dad, you don't even know these people. So, you know, that's the type of man he was. I'm very proud of my dad. He lived a good life. Thank you.
Now we're going to call Paclin.
Okay, so I came out first. I'm the favoritist daughter. Just saying. where do I start? You know, technology kids. I have stuff on my phone here. My family and I thank you, everyone, for being here to celebrate Papa. You know, as we send him off to heaven, as Pastor said, he is in a better place, and I am at peace with that. I know he is no longer here with us, but his legacy lives through us, his children, grandkids, and the thousands of those he served in his short-lived 63 years of life. Growing up, I thought he was just the most strict man I had. But as I grew, I understood why he was so strict. He instilled in us discipline to work hard, to get what we needed and wanted, and to be kind and to always serve. He was truly a servant. He served selflessly. Papa would not even have a penny but do other stuff for other people. I'm like, man, really? He often engaged in acts of selfless service. So what is selfless service? That is actually one of our Army values. We have seven values, and selfless service is one of those. It is defined as to put the welfare of the nation, the Army, and your subordinates before your own, doing your duty loyally without thought of recognition or gain. And that is what Papa did his entire life. He was a selfless person who did selfless service. You know, it is pretty hard to just cut a check, give somebody cash. It is pretty easy to do, right? But it is more difficult to give of our time, to give of our personal presence to help others. And Papa never hesitated. He was only a phone call away. Wherever I was stationed, I called him. He got in his car. He loved driving. I don't know why. He'll get on the car and drive however many hours, and he's there anytime, just a phone call away. Now I don't know who I'm going to call. I'll be ready. Okay? And almost every one of us in here today can say that he served us at some point in our lives. If you came across him, you know what I'm talking about. So this has been the only time that I came home to dig in his this bedroom. He has full of papers, like a lot of stuff. This has been the only time when he wasn't there to tell me not to touch it, not to cut it, not to shred it, because I'm always trying to clean up that room. So I got to do whatever I wanted to do in that room. Let's see here. So as I looked, I came across many interesting things and a couple of things he never shared with us. There was a lot of handwritten cards, letters, notes, a lot of people thanking him for things that he did for them. And one of them caught my attention. It was a large white envelope addressed to the home. Outside of it had a U.S. Great Seal. It said the President's Volunteer Service Award written around it. As I opened it and looked inside, there was a bronze certificate for my father, recognition and appreciation of his commitment to strengthen our nation and communities through volunteer service. This was awarded back in 2014. I never knew about it till I went through his stuff. And along with that was a note from the White House stating, "Congratulations on serving the President's Volunteer Service Award, and thank you for helping address the most pressing needs in your community and our country. In my inaugural address, I stated that we needed a new era of responsibility, a recognition on the part of every American that we have duties to ourselves, our nation, and the world. These are duties that we do not grudgingly accept, but rather seize gladly, firm in the knowledge that there is nothing so satisfying to the spirit than giving our all to a difficult task. Your volunteer service demonstrates the kind of commitment to your community that moves America a step closer to its great promise. Thank you for your devotion to service and for doing all you can to shape a better tomorrow for our great nation." Signed, Barack Obama. Discovering this envelope made me so proud and thankful for such a wonderful man created just to be our father, our biggest supporter. You know, I went to the Army almost 16 years ago. He was like, "Oh, you do whatever you want to do." Mom, till today, 16 years. Oh, my God, don't go. But he was always supporting. He was my biggest supporter, Each time we change uniform, he gets the old one. I don't know what he does with them, but he's like, give it to me, I'll take it, and he keeps it in the house. And so every milestone has I went up, he was always there, biggest supporter, supporting us to do whatever we wanted, as long as they made us happy. We will miss him greatly, but I know we will see him soon one day. He is in heaven, finally resting in peace. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for your presence as we send him off.
Now we need to see Giselle Paul.
Hello, I'm Giselle. I am Alex's niece. He and my father, I guess, were cousins, but the two of them, they were brothers. I remember years ago, my first memories of him were maybe 1981. I was very young. I remember I went to the farm where my grandparents were working, and my grandmother took me with her to go see her sister, who was Tonto Alex's, Tonto Leche, as I called him, sister. And I remember him, I guess I was so small that he was tall and skinny. And as I got older, I said, Tonto Leche was never tall. I think I was just very little. And I remember my first memories of him, and I asked my dad about it a few years ago, not long ago. And I asked him, why did you choose to, you know, help him? What is your relationship like growing up? He said, he was always my brother. You know, the fact that especially he had polio, he was considered handicapped. I've always felt the need to protect him as a big brother. And they were always together. But I always remember that when I used to say to myself, no matter where I go, I'll help him to come with me. And that's how he came to the U.S. And my dad will always say, you know, we're never cousins, we're always brother. In our language, we don't have the word for cousins. Everybody's a brother and a sister, and that's truly the relationship that they had. The past few years have been really difficult. And my dad not being here, it's been hard the past 2 weeks, especially really difficult when Dante Lynn called me to tell me that he had a stroke. And I looked at my text messages. The last message I got from Tonto Leche was on August the 2nd. And one of the things that he said to me, and I thank him so much for leaving me with this message. I'm sorry, I'll be quick. I'm just going to find it. It read, the end of the message said, he said what? God is the master of all problems and can help us find a way to come back to light. I hope we will all speak the truth in love. We had a little conversation, and he knew me. and I'm just so thankful, and I know why he sent me that message, and I'm just so thankful that that's what he left me with. He was always very kind. Tonto Leche, you know, as brothers, him and Papa, everywhere you saw Papa made out, Tonto made out, Papa Marcel, they were always, for as long as I can remember, a lot of them together. They always love. You have to love people. You have to be kind. You have to be respectful. I know those who know, especially my father, he stressed it. Now, he didn't just preach it, but he really lived it. Love and respect for others and community, getting along with people. And then, you know, I know life is not perfect. They were not perfect, but I know that those are the values that they always taught us. No matter what, you love your family, you forgive people, you have to be kind and respectful of people. Like I say, it was hard, but I'm so proud of Paclean. Trina and Papa Medal, thank you so much for being there with us. Up to the very last minute, he was there with him. And this is my first time planning a funeral. if you, you know, told me this in February, we were with him at our cousin's engagement. He was talking to my husband. I never would have thought, like, we'd have to do this. But we've been, it's been difficult, but I know we're strong. And until my me chewing up a clean, you're not alone. You have a family, and no matter what, we'll always get through it together. So I'm very proud of you, and thank you, everyone in the community. And Grace Church, thank you so much. And, of course, Cabarrus Funeral Home. They've been so kind and so loving. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Now we call Adida Manseka.
Hi, greeting everybody. My name is Adida. I am Bernard Manteca's son, and I was introduced to Alex, and he was giving permission to me by my dad. I know when I first came to America, I was crying when my dad was about to go to Congo to go visit, and my dad told me something that he probably don't remember, but I still remember that. He told me that, I'm leaving you here, but I'm leaving you to your second dad, which is Alex. And ever since that, Alex became my best friend. I never call him Alex, but I call him Butaleki. But there'll be a reason why I'll call him Alex today. And also, my dad was the one that brought Alex and my family to Grace Church. And this over here was my first pastor here in America. And I thank you so much. And I would also like to apologize for us Congolese people being late. That's our tradition. And we've been working on this since 1960. But we're getting a little better out there. I appreciate it. So I was in the dictionary. I was trying to look up, you know, what to say and everything. I'm going to try to make this quick. And in the dictionary, it defined Alex as a sweet, caring, and wonderful person. Oh, man, what a wonderful person he was. I just want to take time to describe how Alex was an example of courage and humble man. And he was also the man of Christ. When we look at the word Alex, it's four letter, A-L-E-X. All right, the word A stands for attitude. I know I'm kind of relate to what Pastor said, which was kind of what was on my speech. But Alex always showed us that having a great attitude was necessary to succeed, find a great way to live. In the time I knew Alex, he helped me with by showing me that he cared. And that was the most important thing, just show people that you care. I know a couple of times, man, I always used to call Mama Me and call Mbutaleki, which has been on the phone for like 15 and 30 seconds, and that means so much to me. And he also showed me the great way how to live life. Since A stands for attitude, but what I learned from attitude from Alex, that your attitude is based on how you treat people. No matter how busy a person is, if they care, they will always find time for you. S stands for learning. Alex's goal was eventually to go back to Congo and teach people how to live their life, depending on the skill they had along the way, and utilize those skills in a fulfilling life. As we can see, he wanted to go help people in the earth and go talk to the brutal area where there's nobody would go. But he wanted to go to show people that he cared. I listened to a motivational speaker. His name is Les Brown. The last day I saw Alex, he was just talking. It was just so amazing just listening to him. And me and Yatina was sitting there, we were just like, oh. But it was just so amazing just listening to him talk. But what I learned is that this is saying that if you do what's easy, your life will be hard. And if you do what's hard, your life will be easy. That's basically what he was trying to show us, that he wanted to go to Congo. He wanted to teach them hard work, how to survive, how to depend on themselves. They eventually don't have to depend on nobody but themselves. And there's also a quote that I learned from attitude from Alex, and the quote is by John Quincy Adams. The quote said, "If your action inspires others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader." Alex was a great leader. And the E stands for excellent. Alex was an excellent husband, dad, grandfather, and to me, he was the best friend. He showed me how to put gas in the car. He was the first person to put gas in the car. It was so amazing. What I have learned excellent from Alex, and this is a quote by Aristotle. What Aristotle said about excellence. He said, we are what we repeatedly do. Therefore, excellence should be an act, not a habit. And the X, which was the most toughest thing to find, but the X is for synagogue, which means guide. And Alex was a synagogue man. He desired to guide others with patience, and the example led many to believe that they could accomplish whatever goal they had. In the time we spent together with Alex, he was one of the key people that helped me through my job process. And what I learned from Zenagon, from Alex, is that we don't need more instructions, and we need more example and role model. And Alex was a role model to me. And I know I was so many times I was just listening to him talk. And he made me believe that he was the most fastest person in the world. He would just give a story. Oh, that kid, that boy, that move, that boy. He was just so amazing. He was the most fastest person in the world. I'd be like, wow, this man is amazing. And I learned a lot from him. And I know to me it's been hard because I always used to call him like 15, 30 minutes on the phone. I would just be on the phone. And, you know, he talked for me to be like, oh, yeah, you know, my best friend is gone and everything. But I know he's always an angel to me. And also kind of smart advice I'm going to leave to everybody. You know, it's very simple. Is that be grateful for every second of every day you get to spend with the people that you love. Our time together is short and very precious. Let's respect, support, and love one another. I know in the Bible, in the John 15:12, it says, love one another as I love you. And I feel like we Congolese people, we really need to explore, to learn that more. Because I'm going to speak Lingala, you know, take care of my people for a little bit. Love is short. But ego is okay. So in the Zawa, like to tika, like my polemica mikie, oh mutasalibo, like to tika, we'll just let it go. Just love one another. Don't pray for each other. And now COVID happened. There's always a phone call, simple text. Like sometimes I text my dad, I love you, which means so much to him. And simple text, simple call. Let's just love one another. And let's always try to practice good habit, because that's what excellent do. And I thank you so much, and Butaleki, and he means so much. He still means so much to me. And hopefully one day I'll see him in heaven, and I'll probably see him. So, I mean, not soon. I still got, you know, future life ahead of me, but I'll definitely see him soon. And thank you all, and thank you so much.
Nous sommes en train de faire la course au temps. Je crois que nous allons essayer de réserver, d'aller un peu plus vite à l'essentiel. The time is really running so fast, so we need to get to the point. Now, j'appelle Maman Élisée Manseka. He was my friend.
To yakana enzela moko to salaki play a voyage ensemble.
To come to America, we came together.
Yana America.
Trip together.
Asalaki na msala munene.
He had a very great job.
At village Bundeko.
At village.
Alingaki go tika yete.
They didn't even let him go, but he told
him,
I'm gone, but I will be back. I will try to do the best I can. We came. He went to surgery.
I was going to do
I was trying to help the same way his wife would have done.
We are
all together all the time because we are living in the same house.
He loved
me so much as so I did.
He loved me so much as so I did. He
taught me how a young girl could really live to succeed in her life. We were so good together until the end. We were meeting all the time, every week, and talk. The plans he had.
He went
to Goma and he told me about it. I supported him. He had another plan to go back to
village
Bondeko to work. What he told them to do. 2 days before he passed away,
he came to my store. Corona.
He said the virus is almost gone. Tantine Elise, I'm about to go back. As we said, that's what we're
going to
do. We talked.
Four
times I was about to go home, but he was keeping talking to me.
At the end, I said,
you may go and come back next week, and we'll see what's going
to
do. Now, I can tell that it was the last time we could meet.
He's a lovely guy. He's a helpful guy. He's a kind guy. I will miss him. God bless you guys.
Enfin, nous allons appeler. Now we're going to call Mutameda.
Okay. Thank you very much. My name is Meda Dikatulu. I'm Alex Kazi. There's a lot of things to say about my cousin. Like my niece said, we don't really call a cousin in Africa, it's just a brother. So he was really a good brother to me. We call every week, maybe I would call you 3 times, he called me, we talk. The day he did stroke, he called me in the morning, we talk. Then in night they called me, oh, Alex had a stroke, so we taking him to the hospital. Everybody say almost everything, so all I need just make a conclusion. Maybe Alex was a giving guy. He helped me. He's the one who paid the ticket so I can come to the United States. I will really miss him. In addition, what the pastor does say here, he knew the sign language. And we were going to a ministry, it's called the Way International. And they have classes over there. So that's why really we're involved in their ministry with Alex. So now he found that the class was really, really good class to learn about God's word. So he translated when the class was in the cassette. So he would translate in the sign language to deaf people. And that really impressed me. I said, oh my God. In that class, after the class, we speak in tongue. They show you what is a speaking tongue and how. Then he did all these things to the deaf people. And he made like a chorus choir, the deaf were singing. And I was watching, oh my God, this guy, how he do that? So he was really, he loved people. He wants to know something. He wants people to know it from the Bible. So that's the things I wanted to mention here. And the last thing, he spoke in tongues. In a class, like I said, he spoke in tongues. Well, we are all in the what the Bible called the church. The church is now just a building, but is the body of Christ. So each people who are saved, who are born again, we belong to that church. No matter where you go, but if you confess in your mouth, like Romans 10 and 10 said, if you confess, if thou confess in your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God raised him from the dead, thou will be saved. That's why the church, we belong, or every church you go where they call upon the name of Jesus Christ, they are born again. And that's my joy here, because Alex was born again. Speaking tongue is a manifestation. After you receive the Holy Spirit, then you can manifest the gift, which is speaking tongue, just like the day of Pentecost. Once they receive the Holy Ghost, and the next step, they spoke in tongue. The speaking tongue was done the apostle, but God energized the spirit they received. That's why they spoke in tongue, those languages of the people who were present at the Pentecost. And God did this to Alex. And since we are the church, we have a hope, the return of Jesus Christ. And that's my joy, because I will be with Alex when Jesus Christ returns. So this is really making me happy. The other side, I miss him. And he always called me, like I said. And I miss his call. 2 weeks since he died, I don't have his call anymore. One day, I think about 4 days ago, then my cell phone rang. Then the name Alex, I'll say, wait a minute, this is Alex calling me. Let me stop. And I was close to a gas station. Then I parked there. Then I pick up the phone. Alex? Then there was a man. Oh, mommy said, his wife. I'm using Alex's phone to call you. I said, oh, my God. I was thinking that's Alex. So, really, we miss him. But we have to know he is a man of God. So, we know that he gave us some something we have to live, which is the word of God. So we can, like God said, we can be more than conquerors. So we can be really, can love each other. So his love was really in love, a spiritual love, and we love him. We will miss him.
Now I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Doug.
At this time, we're going to just go right out this door here, and we'll go to the grave site from here. I have a policeman that will be leading us out. And for those of you who don't know where the burial is, it's straight down 49. And we'll go to Cold Springs Road, take a left, and the cemetery will be right on the corner of 73 and Cold Springs Road. We thank you all for coming. Continue to pray for the family, and God bless you all. Y'all could just stay put for just a second. If you didn't hear me, I need you to stay put just for a second so they can move the casket out. That was my mistake. So just kind of clear out right there at the door and let them move this out.